Let's thank God together that He has given us one more opportunity to spend a few minutes before God's Word, and pray that God may lead us even this morning as we consider to learn a few things from the Scripture. I want to draw your attention to 1 John, and if you remember, sometime back we looked at the epistle of 1 John, and we looked at the fact that God is love. And today, I just want to look at another important theme that we find in this epistle, that God is light. Just want to read one verse as we start the study this morning. Verse 5, or 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you've given to us. Father, as we open thy word, thou may speak to our hearts, and you, Father, Lord, thou may enlighten us, Father, even this morning, as we contemplate on the fact that God is light. And we pray that you may bring the right word for each one of us, Father, to sustain us in this world that is dark and heavenly, Father. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. We ask this in the most precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I just mentioned three main themes we see in the first epistle to John. And the first one is God is life. We see in the initial part of this epistle that he begins by the fact that God is life. Then the second theme that we see here is that God is light. And third theme that we see here in the same book is that God is love. So God is life in relation to our eternal life. God is light in relation to our fellowship with him. And God is love in relation to our sonship. So as I mentioned, we looked at the fact that God is love, and we see how that it relates to our relationship with him as his children or sons. But I just want to draw your attention to the second theme here, that is God is light. And that mainly focuses on our fellowship with him. As we read here, that God is light in verse 5. So let's look a little bit into that from chapter 1 and a couple of verses from chapter 2. That's the area that covers the fact that God is light. Just want to focus on three important themes here as we look at this section. Firstly, the channel of our fellowship. You know, how we can get into this fellowship, how we can really, take a step into this fellowship. That's chapter 1, verses 1 to the first half of verse 3. And then secondly, the character of our fellowship. What is real character that is involved in this? What are some of the features associated with this fellowship? That is verses, the second half of verse 3 to verse 5. And lastly, the conditions of our fellowship, verses 6 to 10. So mainly what we would look at is from chapter 1, and also we'll look at some of the other portions from the scripture, from other places as well. Now, the question that we have before us is, how can we have fellowship with this God who is light, right? So, you know, God is light. I will look into that later on. But the first question that is before us is, you know, how can one person or how can a being come before this holy and righteous God who dwells in unapproachable light and have fellowship with Him. And that's what I think Apostle John is trying to make it clear to us. How that access is possible. How can one approach this God who dwells in light and whose very nature is light? Now, one thing that we notice here is that Apostle John talks about God is light prior to talking to the fact that He is love, right? As we go through the epistle, we understand that he introduces the theme that the fact that God is love later on. But the first thing that he introduces here is that God is light. So he introduces the fact that God is light. And maybe, you know, for everyone who dwells in this darkened world that is full of sin, the first thing that need to be introduced is the fact that that each one of us need light. This aspect of light must be emphasized. And this is the same approach that he takes in the Gospel of John, where he introduces the fact that God is light. Then he moves to the fact that God is love. So, God is light. He is the real nature of God is being spoken of here initially before he gets into the fact that God is love. So, even before we experience the love of God, we need to understand that where we are living right now. Now, we are living in a sinful world. Our very nature is composed of sin. And on the other side, we have God who dwells in light. And there is a pathway that would connect this sinful man to that God who dwells in light. And that's the kind of approach that Apostle John brings before us in this first verses of this book. So, one thing that we notice here is that he introduces, just before he talks about God is light, he also starts by saying that God is life. This is eternal life. So, it is through the eternal life that we have the access to get into the fellowship with the Father and the Son. So, if we ever want to have fellowship with God, it is through this eternal life. And that's the means by which one can approach this holy and perfect God. And that's what we see in verses 1 to 3. If we turn to chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Is the word of life. Is eternal life. He existed with the Father. And he is emphasizing the fact that this is true. He says, you know, we have heard, we have seen with our own eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled. So it's very true. There's nothing contradictory here. Now, what Apostle John is presenting to us is nothing but truth. It's the absolute truth. And he presents this eternal life to us. So, in other words, you know, if we want to have that fellowship with this God who is light, it has to be through that eternal life. And one has to believe that. One has to be confident. One has to completely put our trust in that being who is eternal life to approach and have fellowship with this eternal God. And in the verse 2 continues, similar theme there. It says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So here, same thing, same words he being emphasizing here. You want to make it clear that, no, he has seen it and bear witness of it, and he want to show it to us. That eternal life, and the emphasis, I think, here is, which was with the Father. So we're going to have fellowship with the Father, with the Son. And just before that, you know, that eternal life that the Son of God came into this world and he manifested himself to us in flesh. And when we have that truth, fully grasped by faith, you know, we have this privilege and access to come before God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the emphasis being here is, this is eternal life. The Son of God, He was with the Father, and He came into this world. And we again see that the verse 3, similar words being emphasized here in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So again, he uses a similar words to emphasize that this is true. This is absolutely true. You know, there's no doubt what they are presenting to us. We have seen and heard and declare unto you. So, you know, that truth must be grasped. You know, that we need to believe that he is the Son of God. He came into this world to die for our sins. And that opens up the channel for us to come and have fellowship with God Almighty and His Son. So that's verse 3. And if you look at the same verses here, 1, 2, 3, in verses 1 and 3, we see we have seen, and verses, 1, 2, 3, we have seen the expression seen, and in addition to that, we see we have seen and heard in verses 1 and 3. So, in other words, John is clearly testifying everything that he has seen and heard about the eternal word as true, and wants everyone who desires to have fellowship with the Father and the Son to have this eternal life, which was with the Father, that's being emphasized in verse 2, which he also given us. So that eternal life that was with the Father, God has given that eternal life to us. And that must be, you know, we need to believe that. And the person who believes that, you know, can have fellowship with the Father. So one must have that eternal life to enter into the fellowship with the Father and the Son. So at the beginning, at the initial part of this epistle, Apostle John is conveying this truth as, something that he has seen, something that he has heard. There's no doubt about it. It is very clear to him, and he wants us to accept that in that level of authority so that we could believe in him, believe in this eternal word, and have fellowship with the Father. And let's look at the second aspect of what we're going to see this morning. That is the character of our fellowship. What are some of the features that is associated with this fellowship? Verse 3, the second half says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, you know, there was that fellowship which eternally existed between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And into that sphere of fellowship, we are allowed to enter and enjoy. So think about this, the special characteristic of this fellowship. No, that we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit eternally together in, you know, in a fellowship that is beyond our comprehension, and they existed there. And to bring us into that fellowship, what God did is that He sent His Son. He sent that eternal Word into this world so that we can also enter into that kind of fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something. This is something great for us when we think of the fact that we were sinners. We were living in darkness. We were separated from the presence of God. Here, God has given His Son and allowed us to enter into this fellowship with this eternal God. Another aspect when we think about this this fellowship is that the Father has given us that same object that was His delight as we draw near to Him to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. So here we have the Father who is fully delighted in His Son. He was the object of His delight. And in its absolute grace to us, He has given us, you know, an opportunity, a chance to delight in the very same thing that God delights, that is His Son. So that's what happens in our fellowship when we come together with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Father looks at His Son and He delights in His perfection, we are also looking at the Son and finding our own delight in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and exalting Him in our fellowship with Him. Just want to take your attention to the Old Testament to, you know, kind of illustrate what is going on here in this fellowship. Now, we are familiar with the offerings in the Old Testament, and one offering that is related to what the topic here in this passage is the peace offerings, or called the fellowship offerings in the Old Testament. And what happens in the peace offering, if you look at it, we see that the priests not only see the portion that goes upon to heaven, but they are given portions to feed on and to have fellowship with God. So think about this peace offering. You know, you bring that animal, and some portions of animal, like fat and kidneys and other, what is specified in the Word of God, it is laid on the altar and is burned. And the fragrance of that animal goes to the presence of God, and God accepts that sacrifice. He delights in that sacrifice. And along with that, we see that a portion of that animal, just like the Leviticus chapter 7 verse 31 says, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, and the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. So you take this portion of fat and other organs that God has specified, He put on the altar and burn it before God, but some other portion of that animal is given to the priest. So we see that fellowship with God. The same animal that satisfied the heart of God, a portion of that is given to the priest, to Aaron and his sons to feed and enjoy. That's what fellowship is. Again, in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 34 and 35 says, for the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall I have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifice of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron and the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in his priest's office. A portion of that animal is given to the priest and his sons to feed and to enjoy. That's what fellowship is. Now, when we come and when we say that we have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as the Father delights in his Son, especially in relation to his obedience there on the cross of Calvary, and that satisfied the heart of God. But we are also looking at the Lord Jesus Christ from our own perspective, and we are, you know, looking at his perfection, what he offered on the cross of Calvary, and delighting in his person. So we are, you know, having fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a great blessing for each one of us. No, to come and to enjoy that fellowship in his presence. This was a great, you know, blessing for Aaron and his sons to feed on the very animal that satisfied the heart of God. Again, in verse Leviticus chapter 7, verse 21, another thing that being emphasized there is, moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. So, you know, they eat with holiness. There should not be any unclean thing. We see in the, when you come to the latter portion of this chapter, there are some conditions associated with this fellowship. So if soul that touches any unclean thing, you know, that person has no right to take of this sacrifice, portions of the sacrifice. And that involves purity, holiness, as we come into the fellowship with God. Let's see some of the what God delights, or how God delighted in his Son in relation to that peace offering when he offered himself on the cross of Calvary. We know that Christ's complete offering on the cross delighted the heart of the Father, but our portion in the fellowship offering is to lift up that perfection of Christ. So the very thing that delighted the heart of God, we are also taking to ourselves, and we are delighting, we are lifting up in the presence of God. Father delighted in the perfect obedience and the offering of his Son. And when we think about Father, his delight has always been his Son. That was his focus of attention. He delighted in him. And especially in the context of his coming into this world, taking flesh, we see that many portions from John's Gospel very well speak of the fact that, you know, the Son completely obeyed and fulfilled the will of the Father. John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 38, "For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." His will, no, was to obey or fulfill what God had for him, what his Father had given him to fulfill. It was not his own will, but the Father's will. No, when he fulfilled the Father's will, you know, how much delighted the Father would have been to look at his Son, that he fulfilled everything in the flesh, apart from sin. When humanity failed before God because of sin, here is this Son of God, fully human, pleasing God, fulfilling everything that pertains to the will of God. Again, John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. That was his meat, that was his food, that's what energized him to do the will of the Father. Again, chapter 8, verse 29, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. No, everything that he did, he wanted to please the Father. And that delighted the heart of the Father. And John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 34, 35, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. So not only that Christ fulfilled the will of the Father, but, Father loved the Son, and given all things unto him. He was fully satisfied with him. And he gave, the Spirit without measure. We see that the Lord, led by the Spirit, fulfilling the will of the Father. Again, chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doth, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel. The Father loves the Son, an obedient Son, a Son who wants to please the Father in everything that he does, not his own will, but the Father's will. We see that being fulfilled in his death on the cross of Calvary when we look at him as the peace offering, as he himself gave for us on the cross of Calvary to bring peace, to allow us to enter into the fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let us also delight as we continue to have fellowship with God and continue to think about the perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And quickly, just a few things, as we talk about the peace offering. Gospel of Luke is a perfect example of the manifestation of the peace offering. In many of the passages that we see there, I want to pick up a few of those and point out some of the aspects of this peace offering. We know the story of Zacchaeus. And Luke chapter 19, verse 5. For today I must stay at your house. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, as he met Zacchaeus, he is just not meeting him and just going away from him, but he wants to have fellowship with him. He wants to stay at his home. He wants to encourage him. He wants to, fully reveal himself to him. Peace offering. The fellowship offering. When you look at the parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15:6, says, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The shepherd is rejoicing with the sheep. Isn't that a picture of fellowship? Fellowship offering? No. When he found that sheep, he took hold of the sheep, and he wanted to rejoice with that sheep. Every time we come before the presence of God, we rejoice with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. For we were lost, but now we are found. Again, the same thing in the parable of lost coin says, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Same thing, same thought. Rejoicing with the one who was found. Luke 23:43, to the dying thief on the cross, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, with me. No, the fellowship character of his offering on the cross of Calvary. 24:15 and 24:29, same thing to the two who were on the way to Emmaus. And no, the Lord wants to be with them. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And in 29, he says he went in to tarry with them. He wants to be with them. He wants to have fellowship with them. That's what our Lord did for us by giving himself on the cross of Calvary. Now we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to take your attention to the fact that God is light. Verse 5 that we have just read, you know, that God is light and in him is no darkness. God is light, you know, we all know that means that God is pure, God is perfect, he is holy. And I want to look at some of the verses. There are a lot of verses that we can find in the Old Testament concerning the fact that God is light and what it means. Psalm 119, verse 109, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path, unto my path. You know, the very nature of God, that he is light, how did he reveal to us? He revealed to us through his word. And that word shows us the path for us to, you know, go through in our spiritual life. The path that we have to take to in order to maintain a perfect life that would enable us to have that fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Seen the great light. No, that showed they were walking in darkness, but now they have seen this great light. Psalm 43 verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. So all these portions, you know, talks about the fact that God is light, and that very nature or the holiness of God, the purity of God is being revealed to us through his word, through his law, through separating us from darkness and placing us in the kingdom of light. So we are given a glimpse of his nature, that he is holy. He dwells in that unapproachable light. And also, I want to bring out some more verses from the New Testament, which also speaks along the same lines here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Amen. That dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. That's his nature. You know, he's unapproachable. But here we are given this fellowship with him through his Son, through that eternal life. We have given the privilege of coming before this God who is dwelling in light. Now, it's something magnificent for us to contemplate and to enjoy and to experience every moment that we can have in this world, to have fellowship with this great and awesome God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's nothing covered. Everything is, you know, open before Him. There's no shadows that we see Him. You know, He's the Father of lights, holy and pure and perfect. And same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, verses chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, talking about John the Baptist. But that true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So, the fact that God is light, you know, is being manifested to us, mm-hmm. not only through His Word, but also through the person of Lord Jesus Christ. So we are given a glimpse of the nature of God, who dwells in the unapproachable light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, but we are allowed to experience, to have fellowship with Him by sending His Son, who came as the light, to into this dark world, so that we may be able to see this light and come into the fellowship with the Father. And the final slide that I have before is the conditions of our fellowship. You know, if you look at verses 6 to 10, it all starts with an if. And we'll just quickly summarize it into two groups here that we can just see. Chapter 1, verse 6, and another verse that goes along with that is chapter 2, verse 9. The first verse, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And also chapter 2, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. So, if there's a contradiction between your walk, right, and what you say, now, it will prevent us from having fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because He dwells in that light. He is the very light. You know, we cannot approach Him when we have, you know, our lives stained by things of this world, darkness, sin, impurity. Just like in the case of peace offering, you know, if they have unholiness with them in any part of their life, they're not allowed to take part from that peace offering. Same principle here, you know. We need to walk in light in order to have fellowship with Him. And the second section that is complying with the light, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, verse 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is no occasion for of stumbling in him. So we feel it's very clear, you know, if we walk in light, as He is light, we have fellowship with one another and fellowship mm-hmm. with God. Mm-hmm. And also another thing that He emphasizes here is verse 8, being conscious of our sin nature, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, that sin nature, the fact that we are living in this flesh, we need to be aware of that so that we can, you know, we can allow ourselves to be separated from that sin nature. Confessing our sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, verse 9. Then, covering up of sin, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, his word is not in us. Now, sin should not be covered, but should be confessed. And I was looking through this, put into two sections here. The first section says, something that we say, or he saith, just words. And that points to the negative aspect of fellowship. That, if you say something that is not true, that will not help us to get into that fellowship. But on the other side, a couple of expressions that here it says, if we walk, if we confess, he that loveth, these are all not just words, these are actions of obedience to the truth, right? If we walk, if we confess, if we loveth. So when we have this obedience to the truth, which are positive, that will allow us to have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So may God continue to, grant us wonderful experience of coming to the presence of God and fellowshipping with him in light and looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and the perfection that we see in his life and his obedience there on the cross of Calvary. Let us exalt him. Let us praise him. Let us not walk in darkness, but love each other and walk according to the word of God, so that we may continue to have fellowship with God, who is eternal, who is loving, who is life, who is light. So God has given us this great opportunity. Let's continue to praise and glorify him. Thank you.